Amen. Well, good morning. How you feeling, church? Feeling good. Well, I'm excited to be here with you this morning. Like Pastor Bruce said, we have a weekly youth meeting every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And so I have the privilege of getting to spend time with our youth and teaching with them and worshiping with them and playing kickball with them and beating them all at kickball. They'll tell you it's the best. But we have a good time. So if you haven't joined us, if you have a youth, make sure you come out Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. But I'm excited. Like Pastor said, it's Youth Sunday. So anywhere you go today, you should see a youth, and they're all going to be wearing these new camp shirts we got. We're gearing up for camp this year. But everywhere you go, if you've got little children, when you check them in, say hi, there's going to be a youth there checking them in. If you're walking in the door, going to buy a coffee in the portico, there's going to be a youth there. So make sure you say hi. Let them know you love them. You're glad to see them. They'll be all over the place. Sound good? All right, well, I'm told I have 20 minutes, so we're going to jump right into it. You guys ready? If you have your Bibles, hold your Bibles up in the air. We always make the youth hold their Bibles up in the air. We see who brought their Bibles. I had a pastor a couple years ago that used to say, coming to church without your Bible is a lot like going to war and going to the battlefield without a weapon. It's like you want to participate, but you really can't because it's war and you've come unarmed. So make sure you're carrying your Bible with you to church. Flip with me, if you will. We're going to read first the book of Ezekiel. It's all the way back in the Old Testament. Page 1393, if you have my Bible. Book of Ezekiel. We're going to go to chapter 37. And while you flip there, I'm going to give you some context. Ezekiel was a pretty awesome dude. He was a part of Israel. He was a Jewish man. And right during his time, what happened was Israel saw the thing they loved most, you know, their homeland of Jerusalem, their temple, which they did everything in the temple, right? That's where they met God face to face, where the priest could enter the Holy of Holies. They saw that being toppled down, torn down. They were pushed out of their home. And so we come up on Ezekiel during this time when Israel's kind of without a home, and they're wandering, and they're setting up camp different places, and they feel like life's over, right? Like the thing they loved the most was taken away. They felt like, where's God? Because, you know, the whole temple was torn down. And so Ezekiel's chilling out, and he's traveling, right? And the Bible says he comes from a priestly family, so he's from, you know, he's like a PK, and he's tagging along. And at the age of 30, the book opens up where he has this vision from God, and God calls him out to become a prophet. So now we have Ezekiel. It's the third book in the Old Testament with the major prophets, and we're going to flip all the way to chapter 37. If you're there, say there. If you need more time, say wait. A couple people still. Okay. 37. Ezekiel 37. We're going to read through the first 14 verses really quick. But what we're opening into is one of the visions that God has given Ezekiel, and we're seeing it unfold right here. So Ezekiel 37, if you have my Bible, again, at the top, it's subtitled, The Valley of the Dry Bones. But it says this, starting with verse 1, it says, The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, now this, I like this, right? Because either Ezekiel was a man of really, really strong faith, which he was, and we'll talk about that, or he kind of knew, like, this is a trick question, right? He didn't say yes or no. God said, look at these bones. Can these bones live? Ezekiel says, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. He basically said, you tell me. Right? Like, yeah, that's up to you. I love that. So verse 4, he says, Then he answered me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. Verse 6, I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am Lord. If this is me, my brain already is like, what? Like, this is crazy, right? He's in the midst of this, just picture this. Anybody, we said on youth, anybody ever seen The Lion King? When they go off to the elephant graveyard? It's kind of like that. It's just like, not only just dead people everywhere by the thousands, but it's bones. And it's not only bones, it's like to the place the Bible says that they're dry, they're brittle, like they're returning to the dust of the earth, right? Like they've been dead a long, long, long time. So look at this, verse 7. He begins to prophesy as he's commanded, and he said, I was prophesying. There was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9, and then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come breathe from the four winds, and breathe into the slain, that they may live. Verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Picture that. Woo! I'd be a little nervous. Verse 11, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. There we see Israel, right? That immediate connection with what's going on in the historical context of Israel being pushed out. Where they say, look, we felt like we're done. Not only are we dead, but we are dead and gone, right? Bones dried up. He said, these are Israel. Israel said, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. And when I open your graves and bring you up from them, verse 14, I will put my spirit in you and you will live and I will settle you in your land. And then you will know that I am Lord and that I have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. Let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we pray as we study your scripture that your Holy Spirit would just make the words come alive to us. We pray that you would begin to reveal to us the mysteries that you say are hidden in the pages of your word. And then our hearts and our spirits would be attentive to what you would have to say to us this morning. Amen. So we're going to camp this year. We're only, what, 2 weeks out? 2 weeks out? Woo! And we always have a great year. This is our third year doing our own camp. This year, our theme, as you can probably tell from our t-shirts, it says faith to move mountains. That's our theme, faith to move mountains, which is pretty cool, right? God put it on our hearts months and months and months ago that's going to be the camp theme this year. So we set it up, faith to move mountains, and we pushed ahead with it. And from one thing that happened that was really cool, we were meeting on a Wednesday night downstairs in the lower level in the chapel. And I was going to speak, and I just felt the Lord put it on my heart, let's just have like a prayer service. How long has it been since you've been in like a good old-fashioned like Holy Ghost prayer service where all you did was pray, right? So we're like, let's do that with the youth. Let's see what happens. And for like an hour, how long, Anthony? Like an hour, hour and a half? We just prayed and kind of gave direction. We prayed for our city and everything else. And it was really interesting to see because you think, you know, you say, okay, just pray. And people start to go, you know, Lord God, I pray that you would do this and this and this. And we said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start off praying. Pray for 5 minutes and don't ask God for anything. People are like, what? How do you pray and not ask for it? That's not what prayer is, right? It's a conversation with our Heavenly Father. So we just spent the first 5 minutes just exalting the name of Jesus, lifting up the name of Jesus, declaring his blood over the city of St. Louis. And then after that, things just like got unleashed and we just started praying for all kinds of stuff. So it was a lot of fun. But one thing that came out of that night is this phrase that we've been repeating every single week and that we will really believe in all summer and leading up all the way to our youth camp this year that we were believing for and as leaders believing for a supernatural impartation of faith into our young people. And so we begin to pray about faith and you know, what can we teach about faith? Again, we're believing just not even faith that's like, oh, I see how they got from point A to point B, but a supernatural impartation of faith into our young people. So we began to speak on this. Our camp theme this year, you can probably see this on my shirt somewhere, Mark 11, 23. That's where Jesus said, he says, starting at verse 22, he says, have faith in God, right? Good thing. Have faith in God. He says, I tell you the truth, even if with a little bit of faith, if you look to the mountain and say, move, it'll go and throw itself into the sea. Now, my favorite part about that is that once I tell the mountain to move, my job is done. Think about all the times in our lives where we come across problems and we're like, we speak to the problem and they're like, okay, how am I going to fix it? And Jesus said, no, look, speak to the mountain and y'all, the mountain's going to take care of itself, right? The mountain had to pick itself up. The mountain had to throw itself into the sea. Once I spoke to the mountain, it was done. The mountain didn't have an option. My hands were clean. I could walk away. The mountain threw itself into the sea. Think of that, right? So obviously there's power behind this thing called faith, right? So we began to examine, well, what caused the mountain to throw itself into the sea, right? That's probably not a good thing from the mountain's perspective. What caused, so it's not in the words, right? It's not in the words themselves. It wasn't like a, you know, come to the door, knock three times, kick it, know the password, secret handshake to get in. It's no combination of words that opened up the gate for the mountain to move, right? But what was it? It was the faith behind the words. The Bible says, where does faith come from? Here. Come on, church. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word, right? So look at this. Let's jump back to Ezekiel. Every time Ezekiel goes to prophesy. Now, here's what I love about Ezekiel. Ezekiel was this bad to the bone dude, and he was just one of the best prime examples of faith because he did everything God asked him to do, basically unquestioning. No, you know, we see here, he said, hey, can these bones live? I already know what you can do. It's up to you. You tell me. Whatever you say jump, I'll jump. We're going to do this thing. Even when it didn't make sense. Ezekiel was such a man of faith that he would just do everything unquestioned, that he got a reputation of being like, he would like, people knew, oh, Ezekiel, he like loves to prophesy. Now we hear like prophesying over people and all that, but Ezekiel would always go prophesy over like inanimate objects, things that weren't living. People thought, that's kind of weird. But God would be like, hey, go prophesy to this mountain. Or, hey, go prophesy to that. And he would just be like, okay, I'm going. He went through all kinds of challenges. God showed up to this dude, right? And looked at him and said, hey, just so you know, your wife's going to die. And she's going to die today. Just a heads up. And then by that night, his wife died. And then God comes to him and says, oh, and by the way, you're not allowed to mourn. Okay, Israel needs to see your strength. Don't shed a tear. He's like, okay. Woo. Right? He did everything God said to do. So we see here, right? He brings them up to the bones. Thousands, thousands of bones. Now we talked about, I told the youth, if this is me, anybody ever, for any reason, there's no reason to, but get kind of freaked out just like in a graveyard. Like just kind of weird. Like I'm one of those people, there's nothing spooky about it, but it's just like, that's weird. Like it's just weird. He's not only is he like in a graveyard, but everybody's above ground, you know, just nasty bones everywhere. And he's in the middle of it all. He's probably like, how, you know, if I step here, he's trying to figure out how to get out, right? And God says, look at the bones. Go prophesy to him. And what happens when he begins to prophesy? Everything starts to happen, right? But notice every time right before Ezekiel goes to prophesy, and has faith, right? Unquestioning faith. First, he received what? He received a word. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Every single time right before he goes to prophesy, God showed up and said, listen, go and tell them this is what the Lord said. He waited and received a word from God. And then immediately joined his faith with the word, and just began to see God move just instantly. So he's, right, so first of all, this is pretty cool because this is like the closest that anyone has ever gotten to witness like creation. Right, like no one was there when God created Adam, but this is really similar. Like there's bones all the way broken down almost into the dirt and the dust, and he starts to see what, bones come back together? And then out of nowhere, like tendons or wrap it around and muscles start to grow, right? Like he's probably like, this is trippy, right? All this stuff building up all around. Again, me personally, gross. I'm freaked out. Anybody ever seen the body exhibit when it came through St. Louis? How many people have no idea what I'm talking about? It was a big science thing, and they basically took dead bodies, and they it's like taxidermy. Basically, they stuffed them, and they're like, here's what the muscles look like when you kick a soccer ball. And you'd go through, and it was just nasty. It was like it was human cadavers, but you can only see the muscle. And, ugh, not for me. But this is what he's witnessing, right? Like, come to life before him. So for me, I'm thinking at this point, okay, the bones are probably a little better. Let's go back to the bones. Because now I've got all these lifeless, just blobs of muscle laying all over. And look what God says. He says, I'm going to show up, and I'm going to breathe my life into you. He tells Israel, I'm going to put my spirit back in you. At a time when they felt like, these bones, that's us. Everything we know has been destroyed, is gone. God, where are you? And God uses the prophet Ezekiel, right? And his faith to begin to speak with Israel. And again, we talked about the importance of that faith, right? We talked about the importance of that faith. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 6 says that when you say something by faith, guess what? You need to have faith. If you don't, the Bible compares it to just like a wave being tossed in the sea. The wave has no control over its own self, right? It's completely subject to the wind. It's just, it rises and it falls. It's there and it's gone. It's fleeting. It's gone. No control. The Bible says, if you go and you speak stuff, I'm going to act like I have faith. And I'm going to go speak to the mountain. And in your heart, you have no faith. It's just it's pointless. That's why we begin to pray, right? It's okay to ask God for things, right? Jesus said, you have not because you didn't ask me for it. You asked not. So that's when we begin to pray. God, give us a supernatural impartation of faith. Examine my life. Come through like a mighty wind. Sweep out the cobwebs that I've allowed to build up around my home and in my heart. Search my heart, search my soul, examine me, and show me any place in my life that has allowed room for doubt. And clean it out. Now, this is my favorite part. If you look here, God, you ever notice how God likes to wait until nobody else can get credit for it? He didn't drop Ezekiel off in this pile of bodies, right? He was like, no, bones. Wait, not bones. How about dry bones that are, even the bones are decomposing, right? At this point, any normal medical mind would say, no, these bones cannot come back to life, right? When asked, one of my best friends, Ian, you guys probably see him all the time. He's in the back. He runs all our lighting and all that, does a phenomenal job with it. But he had to do, for work, a medical stint where he had to go work a couple shifts in the ER. He's kind of like me where he's like, that stuff's not for me. But he goes and he does a shift. So they had they brought in a lady and she passed away on the table. And they performed CPR on this lady for hours. Because even the medical minds thought, the body's gone, got to be brain dead. But if we can just, maybe there's a chance. But God said, look, we're going to wait till there's no chance. Anybody looking at this is going to say, no. The bones, they're not only bones, they're dry bones, right? Dead and gone. And Ezekiel was like, you tell me, God, I know you can do it. And connected his faith. Now, this is my favorite part. Like I said, God likes to wait till nobody else can get credit for it. And what happens is he sets us up so that when we act out on faith, at the end of the journey, it's really clear, right? Like what he was doing. God starts to boast. He's like, after you do this, then my people will know I am Lord, right? But first it took an act of faith. He wasn't like, I'm just going to show up and I'm going to show you I am Lord. He could have done that, right? Like, boom, here I am, Lord. That would have been easy, right? But it required faith. Faith on the part of Ezekiel. And he could see the long term. He said, I believe God is Lord. He's Lord. He's capable of doing everything, right? And he acted in faith. And then Once he saw the word, the Bible says that the word of God will not return void, right? But that it goes and it accomplishes that with which it was set forth to do. So he believes the word. He hears the word, right? Connection. He hears the word. He grows his faith. Faith comes by hearing. He walks by faith, right? Not by sight. He sees the bones. They're not able to be revived, but he knows God's already told me it's going to happen, right? So now he's heard the word. He's got his faith. He walks by faith, and he begins to speak and act, right? Faith without works, dead, right? So he begins to act on it, and he begins to speak to the bones, and the bones come back together. And then God looks at him and says, and now I'm going to put my spirit back in you. And he says, this is Israel. This is my people, right? This is the good news for you and I, because here he's talking about Israel, but Israel is my people. The New Testament, Jesus shows up and he takes the Gentiles, right? And he says, you're like the vine that was, the branch that was grafted onto the vine. That's Israel. You're all my people now. So God said, I'm going to put my spirit back in you. When you feel like in a place in your life, like you're gone, or maybe you feel like, hey, it's my children, right? My youth. They don't care. I tried to teach them. They don't care. They listen to their friends. They don't like their parents. They don't like their auntie. They don't like their grandma, right? You feel like, I'm lost. I'm in a situation. I'm like the dry bones. God, where are you? God said, I'm going to put my spirit back in you. Get ready. Get ready. Now look, this is not just healing, right? Bones to body, healing. But he said, I'm going to make you whole. I'm going to bring life back into you. We get a couple more minutes. Flip with me to the book of Luke, and we're going to close with this. Book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. And we're going to go to chapter 7. And what we see Jesus, right, in his ministry here on the earth. Starting at verse 11, Jesus rolls up and essentially does the exact same thing, only not in a vision, right? Like he shows up and does it. And I love this. Starting at verse 11, it says, soon after, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. So Jesus is traveling. He's got this big group. Like he's a pretty big deal, right? Like so they've got their ways. They know where they're going. It takes coordination. He's got all these people with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out. The son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. So think of this. Jesus walks up, and like there's a funeral procession going by. You ever be like driving down on the highway, and then you get stuck, and you're like, what is the traffic? And it's like a long funeral procession. It's like that, only they didn't have cars. They would like parade out. And so what they would do too is it's nothing was basically a closed casket. They would have the equivalent of pallbearers, and they would have this the casket up on this thing called a bier, and they would be carrying it up, and the casket was open on the top. It's like you would see probably in like an old Western movie or something like that. And Jesus sees this happening, right? Mother, she's already been widowed. She's by herself now. It was her only son, dead. And the Bible doesn't say what the mother was doing. I feel like it's a safe assumption to say she was probably weeping or she was probably mourning. At this point, she feels like, right, I'm by myself, already widowed, but my only son, my child, is gone. And the Bible doesn't say exactly what the woman was doing, but it says this in verse 13. It says, but when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. Whatever she was doing, it caused, Jesus is walking by in the midst of a crowd. It's not like he's even just walking into town. He's got like, he used to travel with a big group of people. Everybody flocked to Jesus. And something that's happened across the road, across the highway, right? He sees this going on. And something the mother's doing, weeping, right? Pulls at his heartstrings so much for her son. And Jesus just walks right up, says, don't cry. And verse 14, it says, then he went up and he touched the bier. They were carrying him on. And all the pallbearers stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, get up. And the dead man sat up and began to talk. And then Jesus gave him back to his mother. Again, verse 16. Now notice this, same as Ezekiel. Same as Ezekiel. Verse 16. They were all filled with awe and praise and began to say, a great prophet has appeared among us. They said, God has come to help his people. And this news spread throughout all Judea, all the land. Same thing. God, right? Jesus showed up. He said, I never did anything that I didn't see the Father do first. Right? So he acted in faith. He saw the Father raise the boy up from the dead. His heartstring was pulled, right? His human heartstrings pulled by the weeping of the mother. And he comes over and just begins to speak a word of faith. And he sets up. And the same way the Lord said in Ezekiel, do this, I'm going to put life into my people. And then they will know I am your Lord. It's going to be, after that, it's going to be obvious. But it's going to take an act of faith first. Jesus shows up and everybody spreads through the whole city. They said a great prophet has come. And God is here with his people.